1340 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Temporary truce extended in Gaza. Israel and Hamas have entered the fifth day of what started out as a four-day ceasefire to allow for the release of more hostages and prisoners. The BBC's Hugo Bechega is in Jerusalem.
I think obviously the hope here is that all those parties involved could agree with another extension to this deal, so more hostages could be released, more aid could get into Gaza. And I think what the Israelis have been saying is that the offer is an extra day in the pausing, the fighting, for every 10 hostages being released.
69 hostages have been freed so far, nearly half children. Protesters disrupted vigil at Brown University for three Palestinian men shot and wounded in Vermont. The demonstrators shouted at college president Christina Paxson, demanding the school divest its endowment from companies that profit from the Israel-Hamas war. Texas Supreme Court will hear a legal challenge to the state's abortion law today. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
20 Texas women filed suit against the state's near-total abortion ban after being refused the procedure despite having life-threatening pregnancies. A Texas judge sided with them that the exception to the state's abortion ban was so vague doctors feared jail time if they performed one. Their attorney, Molly Duane.
Texas has done nothing to clarify the scope of its abortion bans.
The state appealed the lower court decision. It will now be heard by the all-Republican state Supreme Court.
Last week, we told you about a Navy plane that overshot a runway during a training mission in Hawaii and plunged into a coral-rich bay. It's still there, but Rear Admiral Kevin Lennox says the environmental danger has eased up.
We estimate that the aircraft had just over 2,000 gallons of fuel on board, and the team extracted all the fuel that they could get out of those tanks.
None of the nine service members aboard was hurt. Worried about Name Drop, the new iOS software feature for iPhones that lets you share contacts? CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur says concerns about its safety are highly exaggerated.
This isn't a feature that's just going to turn on by accident. People have to bring their phones practically touching together before they have the option to share their data. And even then, it's not automatic. The person has to say yes, they want to share it.
More parents are skipping the glass of warm milk or a story to put their kids to sleep and using melatonin instead. Research in the journal JAMA Pediatrics finds 18% with 5 to 9-year-olds are giving them supplements that mimic a hormone produced in the brain to regulate sleep cycles. S&P futures down 2. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Ruggiehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Mequon-Thiensville school board member who posted a picture of his marked ballot to social media during last year's April election had felony charges dropped against him Monday. Paul Buzzell's attorney argued that his post of his ballot on Facebook was protected by his freedom of speech. So-called ballot selfies are illegal in Wisconsin, but a judge ruled that the law violated a person's freedom of speech. Buzzell faced up to 3.5 years in prison and up to $10,000 in fines if he had been convicted. A conservative pressure group is turning up the heat on Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The same group that targeted Voss with a $100,000 ad campaign says it's launching $250,000 worth of new ads. The Wisconsin Elections Committee wants lawmakers to impeach Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks with a comeback win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down 26 points, but came back to win 108-102 over the Portland Trail Blazers at Fiserv Forum. It was the largest come-from-behind win in the NBA so far this season. At one point, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored on a tip-in, then ran the length of the court and blocked a shot for a basket by Portland head coach Adrian Griffin.
He's one of the greatest players to play this game. and he showed it tonight.
The Bucks play in Miami tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers are back at practice today. Their next game is Sunday night at Lambeau Field against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, yesterday, the Chiefs were down 14-0 to the Raiders. They came back to win, though, 31-17. College football, the Badgers finished out the regular season with a 28-14 win in Minnesota. Running back Braylon Allen rushed for 165 yards and scored 2 touchdowns.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy today with a high of 23. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 18. High of 37 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 10 degrees.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK, UK, UK, UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday, November 28th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app by podcast or social media. There was a bright full moon out there overnight in between the clouds. Not nearly enough clouds to keep the heat in from yesterday. And I put the word heat in quotation marks, but with what little bit of heat there was gone, temperatures have dropped like a rock. It is a cold, cold morning here up north. We'll rattle off some temperatures for you in just a moment. I've got a question for you. What would your secret email name be? I mean, most of us, you know, some people use their regular name. Some people take on some kind of an alias. But let's assume that you're in elected office or in some other high position where you've got kind of a, you know, a public email name, but you want to get some work done too. So you've got a private name and you could pick any name you want. What would your secret email name be? We'll tell you about Governor Tony Evers and the failings of right-wing media at both the state and national levels coming up this hour. Basically, it comes back to my referencing Edward R. Murrow a week or two ago and his famous speech where he talked about the potential of television. And this was 1958, talking about the potential of television to, you know, to illuminate, to inform, to entertain, but only to the extent to which those people behind the scenes allow it to. Otherwise, it is merely lights and wires in a box. And lights and wires in a box is a charitable way to describe the way that certain media channels are operating today when it comes to public, quote unquote, information. So we'll talk more about that coming up this hour. In our second hour, we're going to talk about how it's going to take people from all walks of life and funding from all types of sources to tackle the world's pollution problem and its impact on our climate, but it can be done. Recently, a philanthropic partnership announced the latest in a series of grants, well over $1 million to local nonprofit and community groups, to take on projects that improve water quality, protect natural resources, improve lives, and do so much more. So we'll learn about the Daybreak Fund coming up in our second hour. We'll talk to Chad Holmes, whose show follows this one on Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau. He's going to be talking to the mayor today, and we're going to talk about how local radio covers local politics and local campaigns? And do you decide to do it from a particular point of view? Do you do it essentially, you know, down the middle? What's the style that you choose? And we'll talk to Chad about that because of a mayor's race coming up in Wausau. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, the phone number, as always, is 844-967-2789. You can call it. You can text it. Use your phone. Use the Civic Media app on your phone and reach us that way. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching a live video feed of this show on the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page or one of the other places where we run this live video feed, put a comment on there as well. And, of course, a reminder that Up North News is a separate entity, a separate media site from Civic Media's radio network. But we are so thankful that they give us these 2 hours of real estate every weekday morning to share some time with you. But, again, if you want to find out more about Civic Media, go to civicmedia.us. You'll see a map of the growing network of stations around Wisconsin and find out how you can hear all the various shows on air, online, and on demand. All right, I've put it off long enough. Here are the 6 a.m. temperatures. Up here on Lake Wissota, it's 5 degrees. Hayward is at 3 below. Park Falls is at 2 above. In Wausau, it's 5 degrees right now. Green Bay is at 11. La Crosse, 11. Wisconsin Rapids, 6 degrees. Oshkosh is at 11. Madison is at 11 degrees. It is 10 degrees in Waukesha, where we bring in Greg Bach to say good morning, only after I mention that the lowest temperature I could find so far this morning is in Black River Falls, where it's 5 below zero right now on this November 28th. Happy almost winter, Greg.
This is wrong. Greg. This is wrong. Why do... You know,
why?
I
love this line. The air hurts my face. Why do I live in a place where the air hurts my face?
I always tell people, and I always tell myself this too, because I live here every year. The same thing happens. We act like it never happened, but every year around, you know, October, we press the accept button on the terms and conditions of living in Wisconsin. And then somehow we moan about it 2 weeks later. And we, because I walked outside with my brand new puppers, and both her and I look at each other like, why are we here?
I know. Maybelle's looking at you like, wait a minute. I thought you liked me. You've been saying these nice things and feeding me, and then you do this. Why can't I pee in my corner in the kitchen?
Trust me. I ask the same question every morning. My wife's like, no. Bad boy.
No, Greg. No peeing in the corner of the kitchen. No.
We don't have a newspaper, so she just hits me in the face with an iPad. So,
Maybelle, the next day, going well, day by day?
So, you know, we're getting there. I took her to the vet yesterday. She had to have her checkup. Everyone there fell in love with her. Everyone loved her. Dr. Erica, who's our vet at the Kenosha Animal Hospital, she said that Maybelle is in great shape. Looks good, all the good signs. She did have to get a vaccination shot, so she wasn't thrilled about that. And she kind of, you know, I'm the one who put her in the to-go crate. Sure. I'm the one who put the thing on around her neck. I'm the one who got her the shot. So every time I walked in the room last night, she like pulled back.
Aww.
She's like, what's this evil Santa Claus doing? So basically what they told her, and I was actually talking to Kristen Bry from Asgos, Wisconsin yesterday about it. And it was more therapeutic for me than I'm sure for the dog, because I got to ask all these questions and everything. You know, she said, Dr. Erica said, everything you're doing is right. You're fine. She's getting used to you. She's relaxing. She said, it's basically 3-3-3. The first 3 days, she's going to be nervous. After that, you're going to start to see her relax. In 3 weeks, you're going to see her personality come out. By 3 months, she should be good to go, just loving the land. So,
that's nice.
That made me feel so. And she peed last night. Oh, thank goodness she peed. Yeah. So
everything's working.
Everything's so in its right place.
I'm now of an age where I don't remember all of the vaccinations and things for little kids. So I don't know if you and Kristen talked about that in part, but when you've got these little ones,
these little people and you take them for early vaccinations.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, oh, it just breaks your heart. These little babies are crying, but you know you're protecting them. Yep. You know you're doing good things. And the same goes when you're bringing a puppy to the vet. But again, it passes and you're doing these things for the right reasons. So, Maybelle, you got a good one there.
Yeah. You'd be good. Thank you.
Yeah. and cold.
It's in your bones right now. It's in your bones.
I know. But I was looking at, obviously, you're starting to see the holiday ads and the holiday shows and things like that. And there's one where I'd like to, again, be the old man shaking fist at cloud. And it's about the shows. And I know there's the one on ABC, and I'm sure there's others, about neighbor rivalry into who can have the most ridiculous, I would contend, obscene amount of Christmas lights and Christmas displays in front of their house.
Yeah.
And again, this is just the old man thing, but as somebody who a seminal moment in my very young life was the Arab oil embargo and the energy crisis from 1973 to, you know, just about 1980. And we were all the time told about conserving energy. And even to this day, even though we're not going through that kind of a crisis, again, we're facing finite amounts of, you know, oil and things like that. So I've never been one to willingly waste electricity. I don't keep the house at, you know, 50 degrees or something like that. But whenever I see these Christmas lights, or frankly, the lights of Las Vegas, when I know how dry it is out in the mountains, you know, it just does something to me. I'm glad that they're happy. I'm glad these decorations bring people joy. It is definitely not my scene.
Well, when you're in the, like, so as a relatively new homeowner, I mean, I've got 3 or 4 of them and they're not bad, but when you have like, when you don't live on a candy cane lane where that's your thing, that's the, you know, people come see you and it's only like 2 or 3 who are ridiculous. Just know this, the rest of your neighbors think you're idiots. You're like, oh great, I get a permanent nightlight for a month.
I don't want their electric bill. That's for darn sure. Look, we got a couple of comments come in. Mary writes in, I love my Burmese Mountain Dog and German Shepherd mix. They are my kids now that my human kids have left the nest, with a couple of hearts there. And Jermaine just sent you a bunch of, you know, 100% emojis, clearly agreeing with everything that you were saying about.
I just wanted to know something really quick, Mary. What's the mix, the German Shepherd mix? Because ours is German Shepherd Pomeranian, which, by the way, not a single person I've told to that yet has not gone, huh?
Remember, we sure did here.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets your attention.
Yeah.
So we'll check with Mary on the Burmese Mountain Dog and German Shepherd mix. Maybe she wants to say more about that. Eli sends in to Mary, my dogs have replaced, quote unquote, my kids as well.
No word from Eli's kids.
No word from Eli's kids who suddenly are looking at the return policy on some of the holiday gifts that they were looking at. You know, my wife and I love dogs. We are dog lovers. We had Casey, a golden lab, a beautiful, friendly dog. Got her when the girls were 4 and 6. You know, she passed away, 14, almost 15 years later.
Yeah.
Would love to get another dog again, but it's one of those where it's probably going to wait till after retirement, just because now with being an empty nester, we travel enough that we would feel guilty, you know, putting somebody in the kennel that much or trying to travel that much.
Yeah.
So, but someday there's going to be puppies here again. Mary responds, not sure, came from Hoover House Rescue.
There you go.
So there you go. Eli responds back, ha ha ha, and you won't. I think that's something about the kids and the Christmas presents. And then Mary sends in, I need to do a DNA on her.
Mary.
I assume we're talking about not the kids, right? We're talking about the dog.
Don't do it on the dog. Just let the dog be the dog.
Yeah, because otherwise with the kids, it's that whole ancestry thing. Exactly. And that's a segment of the show we have yet to do, but I've got some stories on that one. That'll be a doozy. This seems like a good place to pause, though. Come back and talk about our theme of lights and wires in a box and ways that right-wing media has been letting us down. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Don't get caught off guard in 2024. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K. The Shaw, W-A-U-K. The Shaw.
Was the number one song on this day in 1964. Don't have my notes in front of me here. Let me get to them because I want to tell you why we're doing the number one song from 1964 on this day. Yeah, because we're going to tell you later in today's history lesson the song that was at number seven. And you'll understand why when we get there a little bit later on this hour coming up on Up North News Radio, where it is just about 6:21 right now, and not a lot to share in terms of sports overnight. The Badger men's basketball team had an easy time with Western Illinois last night, 71-49. The next game for men's college basketball is the Badgers versus Marquette. And that'll be in Madison on Saturday. 11:30 is the tip-off on there. And as we get closer, we'll tell you about some of the stations on the Civic Media Radio Network where you can hear that game as well. The Bucks play tonight in Miami as part of that in-season tournament thing. That's my technical term for it, is the in-season tournament thingy. And that the Bucks can wrap up their group, because they put all the teams in a group for this tournament, and then probably move on to the knockout round that starts next week. But that Bucks game tonight in Miami, you can catch on News from the Center in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine, or 98Q Country in Park Falls. So if you're listening to any of those places across Wisconsin this morning, come on back to the station later tonight, 6:30, for that Bucks game against Miami. Let's unpack the news now. You can reach us at 844-967-2789 if you'd like to comment, 844-967-2789. I specifically did not mention the Vikings-Bears game last night. Oh, what a stinkeroo. I wasn't watching it closely by any stretch. And what was the final? 12-10 Bears over the Vikings with a late field goal. But I mean, it was just a metaphor for what the National Football League has become this year. But at least the Bears beat the Vikings, which puts them now just a half a game ahead of the Packers. And so even though the Packers had that four-game losing streak, they're still definitely in the hunt for a wild card spot at this point. All right, so we mentioned secret emails earlier, and that there was this purported to be a bombshell report by a right-wing news site that said, you know, we have discovered that Tony Evers had a secret email. And then there wasn't much of any kind of a response on social media about it. So you could basically sense the desperation as this right-wing site and then a couple of, you know, Republican bloggers came up and said, again, I said, Tony Evers has a secret email. And pretty soon the responses started coming in. Yeah. You know, he's the governor, right? I mean, if the only one he had was gov.evers at WI.gov. It's something like that. Do you think he could get anything done in between all the emails from Nigerian princes and, you know, political groups trying to dox him? I mean, again, going back 15 years to my time in the legislature, we all had an individual email alias. And I'm not going to, they might still be using it, so I'm not going to say much more about it, except to say that we had an official one, which was, you know, something.kreitlow at blah, blah, blah. And then there was the one that you could use personally. Now, here was the deal on that. If there was an open records request made of your office, the legislative staff, who are nonpartisan and amazingly professional and above board, if an open records request comes in for email that went back and forth from your office, that email that you are using personally, again, it's not a personal email, it's a state email, but that, you know, you're using that one as well, that gets swept up into this open records request. Everything that goes into your office, no matter if it's your public address, your not so public address, all of your staffers' addresses, those all go out there. And the same thing applies to a governor's office. And in all cases, before those emails are released, the email addresses are redacted, again, for privacy concerns. And so when this right-wing blogger says, "We found out Evers has a secret email," and every, you know, you heard other people saying, "Yeah, what's this about?" And, "Hey, are they answering public records requests?" And again, the response that came back was, Yeah, they are. Those get out there. And yes, previous governors had email aliases as well. This is not news. And I thought it was a little unfortunate that some media sites basically, you know, fell for it. They took the bait. And so you have, you know, Wisconsin governor used alternate email using a fake name based on a Hall of Fame pitcher. In other words, Tony Evers, for his personal alias email, so that he could actually get some work done, used Warren Spahn, the legendary pitcher, former Milwaukee Braves pitcher. So he had like Warren.Spahn at, you know, WI.gov or whatever it is, which I thought that was nice and original. And I almost wish that this had happened, that this... quote unquote news story broke with a Republican in office, because then you would hear us say, yeah, we've known this all along. It's not some kind of a major revelation, but some news houses treated it like it was. And it's unfortunate. It's not totally surprising, but it does make me wonder, what would yours be? And Greg, I know that a lot of people are not going to believe me, but I figure it is time to share now. My personal alias when I was in the state Senate.
Oh, boy.
It was George Santos at Wisconsin.gov. A lot of people thought, who's this guy? They wouldn't hear from him for the longest time, but I had that one.
Pat, before I give you mine, can you give me another breaking Tony Evers? Give me your best one. I got something for you.
Okay. Tony Evers used a secret alias to get work done with his email. I love Dramatic Squirrel. I will never get tired of the Dramatic Squirrel sound effect. It's the best.
Yeah,
that was the sense. Greg, if you could have any secret alias for an email, what would you go with?
It would be Pat Kreitlow at...
Well played.
Thank you. Pat Kreitlow at Wisconsin Governor's Business .gov.org.
at noneyourbusiness.com. Something like that.
My email address is mindyourbusiness at gotakeawalk.com. Do something about it.
So this is your chance. What would you use? Time to be original. 844-967.
Keep it FCC compliant.
2789. Yeah, keep it clear. Just text it to us. Yeah. You can text 844-967-2789. You can comment on the Facebook pages as well. Normally on Tuesdays, we'd come back and hear from Christina Laurie. Because of the holiday week, I'm just going to tell you, head over to the Up North News Daily newsletter and look at the things that she's working on. And I'm going to tell you more about the newsletter in just a little bit as well. Bundle up. really cold out there this morning. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday. Back in a bit.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. We're expecting more hostages and prisoners to be released in the Middle East after Israel and Hamas agreed to extend a temporary ceasefire into a fifth day. CBS's Chanel Call.
The extension will also allow even more aid into Gaza, with more trucks filled with food, medical aid, and fuel joining the 150 that have already traveled into the Strip since the truce began.
In Rhode Island, protesters crashed a vigil at Brown University for three Palestinian students shot and wounded in Vermont. The demonstrators demanded the school divest its endowment of companies that profit from the war. Texas Supreme Court will hear a case brought by 20 women challenging the state's near total abortion ban. Their attorney is Molly Duane.
Texas has done nothing to clarify the scope of its abortion bans. And every day, real people are suffering.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former Republican State Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to be the first candidate to throw his hat in the ring to run for the next state Supreme Court election. He will be taking on Liberal Justice Ann Walsh Bradley in 2025. Schimmel was State Attorney General from 2015 to 2019 when he was defeated by the current Attorney General, Democrat Josh Call. Sources in the campaign tell the State Journal that Schimmel plans to formally enter the race on Thursday. Wisconsin commuters sound happy about the decision to add a second daily Amtrak round trip from Chicago through Milwaukee to St. Paul. Passenger Brady Scholten speaking with ABC News.
It'd be nice to have an earlier route that starts off, have that option to leave in the morning. It's just easier.
The second route is expected to launch sometime next year. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy today with a high of 23. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 18. High of 37 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 10 degrees.
What is the meaning behind Movember? It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now.
You're going to hear a lot of Motown this morning, and we'll tell you why in today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls, Greg Bach down there in Waukesha. And we were talking earlier about secret email names and aliases. And again, the reason why you would do that is to get some official business done. There's other reasons why you would, shall we say, alter the way that you do email in reasons that are not quite as above board as, say, trying to be a governor trying to get work done. And that was the part that occurred to me as people started reacting to the Evers email story. Again, it was the old Hillary Clinton, you know, but her emails thing, where suddenly now email behavior is an issue when it's not during other times. What do I mean by that? How quickly so many people have forgotten. And I couldn't wait to remind people that the moment you want to pick on Governor Evers for having a different alias is the moment that we get to remind people Scott Walker had an entire secret server, an entire server and email set up in his county executive office in Milwaukee to get political work done on government time. Now, he has always maintained that he himself did no political work during official hours.
Oh, boy.
Political work, you know, on taxpayer time during working hours. It was a big deal because it's a big no-no. You want to do politics and campaigns, you do it after hours. Yeah, you don't do it when you're doing your official duties. But it was eventually discovered that, you know, Scott Walker's staff had an entirely separate server in his office that enabled the staff, if not him personally, to get some work done. It all came to light, and I'm looking at an old Milwaukee Journal story now from February of 2014. Showing just how intertwined Walker's campaign operation was with his taxpayer-funded county staff in the months leading up to November 2010, when Walker was first elected governor. The article notes it is against state law in Wisconsin for public employees to work for political parties and campaigns while being paid by taxpayers to provide government services. Walker used his campaign email to communicate with his county aides, who frequently used their own private email accounts when interacting with Walker or his campaign, all of which would shield their discussions from the public. And it's the kind of thing that we've seen Republicans continue to do. Fairly recently, remember the controversy over Fred Prehn, the person who was essentially a squatter on the Natural Resources Board, who wouldn't step down so that Tony Evers could appoint a replacement, even though that's how norms and traditions are supposed to work in a democracy. But Fred Prehn wouldn't, saying, well, you know, the Senate hasn't confirmed, you know, a successor. And emails later confirmed that Prehn was essentially conspiring with Republican senators, lobbyists, even Scott Walker himself, on a strategy of don't step down and the Senate will continue to refuse to confirm Evers appointees. Exactly the kind of thing you wouldn't do in a democracy. So when Governor Evers says, as he said before, that, you know, some of these indications from Republicans are that they've become increasingly hostile toward democracy, he's not kidding around by the actions that have been taken. And so if you want to take a personal alias email address and stack it up against secret servers and using emails to conspire to circumvent democracy, you go ahead and bring that fight up, because I'll put Warren Spahn's email address up against anti-democracy efforts pretty much any day of the week. So that was what we saw from right-wing media in Wisconsin yesterday. And it reminds me that we have not yet brought up a massive failure of right-wing media at the national level last week. And it all started with a car crash. A fiery car crash at a border checkpoint between the U.S. and Canada, but a car crash, nevertheless. Not a terrorist attack, not an invasion, not undocumented immigrants, none of the things that the Fox political channel and others had no trouble speculating about, rather than actually waiting to learn the facts. Brian Stelter is a media critic. I believe he works for the New York Times now. He worked for CNN for the longest time. He may not work for the New York Times. He may just contribute things to them. But as he looked back at the incident at the border checkpoint last week, he reminded the audience of something pretty important here, and that is that large traditional news outlets have something called standards and practices. They have a process for approving the use of anonymous sources. They have checks and balances. Fox mostly does not. So its claim about a Niagara Falls, quote, terrorist attack was rushed onto the air and online wrongly and recklessly, with a single reporter claiming to have, quote, high-level police sources saying that an attempted terrorist attack had occurred. She said sources, plural. But Fox's on-screen banner cited a singular source. So how many sources did this reporter or this network have? Who in management, Brian Stelter asks, who in management vetted this information ahead of time? Which executive said she was cleared to report this information? Outside reporters ask these questions, but if history is any guide, he writes, Fox will avoid answering these questions that are being asked of them now because the answers are embarrassing. Was it just convenient, a convenient matter to try to turn a real news story into something that was closer to propaganda? Quite possibly, yes, because it fits a narrative that if you can tell a story in a certain way, with current events, with some fiery video, you know, that helps you spread a myth and then helps other people spread the myth, well, that may not be the news business that you grew up with, but that's the media business that we're dealing with now. A number of people who then cited the Fox News reporter and put it in their own social media was, you know, just downright embarrassing, but unfortunately, you know, not very surprising. You had, you know, people ranging from, you know, Senator Ted Cruz to all manner of other members of Congress. They were blaming, you know, Joe Biden on his open borders policy and, just any reason to take what turned out to be a terrible accident and try to turn it into grist for the political mill. I will grant you that while this particular episode is especially illustrating about right-wing media, it is fair to say that this happens all across the media landscape. And the reason why is 24/7 news. Once upon a time, when you only had that one 30-minute newscast that was going to be delivered by Walter Cronkite or Brinkley and Huntley or Peter Jennings or whomever, you had what was called gatekeeper journalism. That there were gatekeepers, there were editors, there were standards and practices that said, okay, from now until 5:30 when the newscast hits, let's check this out, let's flush this out, let's write it completely, let's double check with our sources. But now when things happen in the moment and we've got to know right now what's happening, it leads to more speculation than ever before. And a little bit of speculation is always going to be part of that process. The trick, and it is a trick for a craftsman, and a good journalist is a craftsman, the trick is to know when that speculation is within the realms of possibility and when you're essentially making stuff up and saying things for the sake of filling air. And we see that happen far too often now when people feel the need to speculate in order to fill an information vacuum. And what we need to hear more often is a reporter in the field or an anchor or an analyst saying, we don't know yet. We don't know. And even if you want to speculate, at least say that a lot. It could be this, but we don't know. It could be this, but we don't know. I'd guard against that wherever possible. But do your audience a favor, instead of feeding them the narratives that you want them to hear because it's part of your larger messaging strategy, because then you're not doing anybody any favors whatsoever. Now, there are a few people who will not trust the Fox political channel the next time that they have some big incident that's happening, but others will now take this information and kind of put it in their conspiracy file and say, oh, you see, I knew there was something there. They just couldn't tell us what it is. And then they return to whatever they were talking about before the border checkpoint story. Maybe, I don't know, satanic Christmas trees in the Railroad Museum over in Green Bay. And did I see correctly? I didn't see a video clip. I didn't see an audio clip. I just saw a screenshot that Fox was covering that story again yesterday about a group calling itself the Satanic Temple, putting up this Christmas tree at the Railroad Museum with a very lovely message of inclusion and being good to each other. But if I saw the screenshot correctly, Congressman Brian Stile was also on Fox commenting about this, not just Mike Gallagher from the day before. And I thought, is this how we're going to do this now? From now until Christmas, will it be Glenn Grothman today? Will it be Scott Fitzgerald tomorrow? Tom Tiffany the day after? When does Derek Van Orden come in with his, you know, moose glass of eggnog, like something out of the Christmas Vacation movie, and start to speculate on the Satanic Temple Christmas tree? This is what happens when you have to fill that 24-hour void instead of talking about what's really getting done in terms of the ceasefire in Israel, or, you know, infrastructure that's getting built, jobs that are being created. You instead find yourself talking about Christmas trees from satanic temples and speculating about things that aren't real, but feel good talking about in the moment. Let's turn to much lighter material at 6:47 here, the Up North News Daily Newsletter, put together by Christina Laurie. And again, we'll talk to her next Tuesday and resume our visits with her. But I learned something from her newsletter today, because I don't see Christina's newsletter before it goes out. I contribute my story. Other people put in their stories. Christina puts it together. And she's got a story here saying, have you tried the Great Wisconsin Cheese Trail? She says, it's no secret Wisconsin loves cheese. We're home to 11,000 farms with 1.3 million cows. But what is a secret to many people, and I add myself included, is the Great Wisconsin Cheese Trail, a winding 200-mile loop that takes cheese lovers to 14 of the state's shops, starting at Arena, best known for its Colby and Kojak, but goes through Hook's Cheese in Mineral Point, Brunkow Cheese in Darlington, goes through Schulzberg, Monroe, Broadhead, New Glarus, over to Madison as well. Had no idea that was there. And now that's got to be on next summer's potential road trip list. So be sure to take a look at that in the Up North News Daily Newsletter. Look at upnorthnewswi.com. I have my own personal cheese trail, but it runs along Highway 29. It's, you know, Marietta Gouda in Thorpe. It's the Nasonville curds that you get over by Curtis. You may stop at Newski's along the way over in Wittenberg. Do you have your own little personal cheese trail? We'd love to hear about it. You can call us up and talk about that at 844-967-2789. But for here, we'll pause and get set to talk about this day in music history and other historical notes. So go fill that coffee cup up and then subscribe to the show as a podcast over at Apple, Spotify, or civicmedia.us. You're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, WAUK.
Just sitting down here at the Baby Grand up here on Lake Wissota, playing you a little Beethoven right now. Notice I don't even get winded when I'm doing this, Greg.
So talented.
I know. And somehow managed to fit an orchestra behind me here.
It's a nice size house, but it's really, I mean, that's a 50, 60 piece?
I don't know who this is, but I'm done insulting them by trying to take credit for what they're doing.
Her name is Alina Berku.
Thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
She is playing Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5 in E flat major, Opus 73, which premiered on this day in 1811.
Beethoven, he's fine.
He's rolling in his grave right now going, why are they? Yeah. So here's what I learned while putting together. You got to learn something during these history lessons. Here's what I learned. I've seen this all the time. I've seen it all the time in classical music. But I've never known what is an opus. Opus to me is, you know, some flightless fowl from the Bloom County comic strip. I love Opus the Penguin. I've only learned in putting the segment together that opus is means work. It numbers the composer's works in chronological order. So Opus 95 is the composer's 95th composition. And I know there's classical music lovers right now. They are rolling their eyes. They are smacking their forehead. Cannot believe that somebody approaching 60 is this dumb about classical music. But I'm here to admit to it and say that I learned something today thanks to Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5 in E-flat major, Opus 73.
You're going to bring that up at the next party you go to, aren't you?
I sure am.
They're going to be talking about like deer hunting and what they're teaching the kids. Oh, that's true. But did you know the Piano Concerto No. 5 in E-flat major, Opus 73? It's not as good as 74.
And why? Because I'm going to be looking for affirmation that I'm not the only idiot out there that didn't know this. And then I'm going to find out that all my friends and neighbors did know it, and then I'm going to feel even more like an idiot. You've heard a couple of Motown tunes. You're going to hear a few more throughout the day because today marks Berry Gordy Jr.'s birthday. The founder of Motown is 94 years old today. This would be the Marvelettes with the very first of many number one songs that would come from Motown Records. And Greg ran into the same problem that I did when trying to come up with bumper music for today. How do you pick? amongst all the number ones that Motown had over the years.
It's impossible. Stevie Wonder alone could be an entire show.
Yes. Yeah. It's so good. And it doesn't, it's not just the 60s, 70s. I mean, it stretched well into the 90s with Stevie Wonder, with Boys to Men, and with others. But the Marvelettes had the very first of the number ones. And so happy 94th birthday to Berry Gordy Jr. Happy 80th birthday to Randy Newman. Paul Schaefer from the David Letterman Show, 74 years old today. Jon Stewart, America's most trusted former news anchor, is 61 today. Today is the anniversary of the first American automobile race. It took place this day in 1895. It ran 54 miles from Chicago's Jackson Park to Evanston, Illinois. 54 miles on this day in 1895. Took 10 hours to run the very first automobile race.
That's when some guy named Chip Kowalski from the South Side goes, "Hey, why don't we just do this in a big circle next time?" Yep. Just do a circle. We have to go close all the roads. It's terrible. I don't like it. I don't like thin crust pizza either. I like deep dish pizza. I'm from Chicago.
We are totally inventing a new show character just based on this.
Chip Kowalski.
Very good. We mentioned on this day in 1964 that the Shangri-La's teenage tragedy song Leader of the Pack was number one. And it was because of that and a couple of other tunes that kept the Kinks from getting to the top of the charts. They peaked on this day in 1964 at number seven with one of their signature tunes. If you're listening to the radio on November 28th, 1964, and you're hearing the number one song, Leader of the Pack, sounding like so many of the other songs before that, and then you're hearing this up-and-coming song, are you not thinking, I think things are starting to change in music?
Yeah, there's a fun factoid about this song that you might not know. It's the first song to feature distorted guitar.
Did you know that Opus stands for the numbered works of a...
Trying to know some things here, Pat.
I don't know. I like this. I'm trying to not be as, you know, I want to be smart like you.
Yeah, there was a cut in the speaker that made it make that da 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 da. And they were like, let's just do it. Let's just go for it. And this.
See, I always love hearing about that because, again, no musical talent whatsoever. So whenever I do hear stories about how they tried to do different things, what they did with speakers and instruments and all that, I actually really do like that. So, anytime you've got trivia like that, bring that up. And then there's some music that just, I don't know that it doesn't really necessarily stand the test of time, but I know that on this day in 1966, the latest gold record was by a group called the New Vaudeville Band, and it sure was a catchy ditty at the time. I remember it well, but when was the last time you heard this one?
Winchester Cathedral.
What are we doing? What was wrong with you people back then?
I don't know. Well, you just never... I mean, again, the 1960s were really a time of transition. You could do distorted guitars, and you could do, you know, your impression of Rudy Valley. You know, and that's... This record hit gold status this day in 1966. Now we need a palate cleanser after that.
He's doing his vocals through a bullhorn.
Through a megaphone. Yeah, through a megahorn. Megaphone, just like, you know, the old football cheerleaders used to do.
I hate this.
23 Skidoo and all that. Well, then let's cleanse the palate with our last stop.
23 Skidoo.
The newest song released this day in 1984 was by Prince. You feel better now? I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I Would Die For You, released this day by Prince in 1984. That's your history lesson for this November 28th. It is National French Toast Day. It is Red Planet Day, having something to do with Mars, I guess. And I guess most importantly for today, and you're going to hear about this a lot, today is Giving Tuesday. So you had Black Friday, you had Cyber Monday, and then Giving Tuesday, a reminder to people, you know, that this is the holiday season. This is a very important time. You're going to get all kinds of appeals for end of the year donations. Today would be a good day to pick one or two or maybe more worthy recipients and send a little something there to help them get through the holiday season. With that, we'll take a pause here. And let you know that in our second hour, we're going to be talking about a philanthropic group that is working to tackle pollution and climate issues all along the western shores of Lake Michigan. We'll learn more about the Daybreak Fund and one of their recipients coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning. You're up north.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.